from the United Church of Christ of California, Missouri, this is a time of hope.
As is normally the case, our program this morning is a compilation of selected portions of our church service from last Sunday, which was the last Sunday of the church year, also known as the Reign of Christ Sunday. However, this is the first Sunday of Advent, and because of that, I wanted to make a special note of special things we have during the Christmas season. On December 17th, in our regular worship service at 10:30, our senior choir is going to present their cantata. On Christmas Eve evening at 7 o'clock, our Sunday school presents their Christmas program. And on Christmas morning, we have church at 10 o'clock. I know particularly a number of churches do not include a Christmas morning service, and certainly we'd be glad to see any visitors anytime, but certainly at any of these special services.
Well, come, let us sing to the Lord.
Let us come into
his presence with thanksgiving.
Let us make joyful noise to him with songs of praise.
For the Lord is a great God,
and a great King above all gods.
Oh, come, let us worship and bow down.
Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker.
For he is our God,
and we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his.
Join in the prayer of the day for this reign of Christ and Totem Fest Sunday. Almighty and everlasting God, whose will it is to restore all things to your beloved Son, whom you have anointed as King of all creation, grant that all people of the earth, now divided by the power of sin, may be united under the glorious
children's time this morning is led by Joanne Cantrell.
How many of you have seen the show Minute to Win It? Anybody here? It's probably a little anxious for you, you think? A little older. Well, in Minute to Win It, The contestant has 1 minute to do something, and then they win a prize if they get it done. Do you know that? You think you can do that? I'm going to see in a few minutes. We're going to see if you can do it in 1 minute. I got the timer with me this morning. This morning's scriptures talk about taking care of each other. It talks about a good shepherd who takes good care of his sheep, and he knows the sheep from the goats. Do you know the difference between a sheep and a goat? Huh? Well, I just know that a goat's little tail wags all the time and a sheep's lays down, but there's more to it than that. But I'd be in hard luck if I had to go out and find a sheep, wouldn't I? But anyway, Jesus knows the difference between goats and sheep. He knows us, and he knows everything we do. And what he wants us to do is to take care of his sheep. And do you know who the sheep are? Who do you think Jesus' sheep is? That's it, Hunter. It's us. It's each other we have to take care of. We've talked about that before, haven't we? Taking care of each other. How can we take care of each other? We don't live in the same houses, do we?
No.
Hunter. That's right. If you see a homeless person and they need something to eat, you can help feed them.
Yes.
The angel tree, yes. If somebody is in need of something, we can give them to them, like the angel tree. What else?
Like if someone got hurt, we can give them a Band-Aid.
That's right. If somebody gets hurt, we can give them a Band-Aid. That's right. What else? All right, we're going to start the timer. You've got 1 minute to think of how to help other people. Just a minute. You count how many, okay? Can you count? Huh? Oh, good. You can. Well, I know you can, Jess. You help him, okay, Jess? You help. All right. Ready? 1 minute to win it. Go. No. Tell me how many. What can we do? Hurry up. Speak them out. You're losing. Okay, Angel Tree.
Help people eat.
Help people eat.
You should watch it. People, money.
Money.
Jobs.
Jobs.
If someone's stuck in a tree.
Okay, if they're stuck in a tree, we'll get them out.
Help people out.
Help people out. Come on, we got 30 seconds.
Help people
have a baby.
Help people with babies, okay.
Shoebox gifts.
What's that? Shoebox gifts. Shoebox gifts, yes. What about school supplies? Oh, back here. Mackenzie. Help other people. Okay. Goodwill donations. Yes. What else? Okay.
Giving people pets.
Pets. Okay. I'll come with pets.
Kindness.
We have 1 second. Hurry, Hunter. Beep. We're done. Sorry. Okay. How many did we get? my counters. You think we got 20? Okay, I think we got pretty close to 20. Now, what I want you to do this week is, it only takes 1 minute to help somebody. We named 20 things, didn't we?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, we did. So this week, I want you to take 1 minute, and I want you to help somebody like the scripture says. If you find somebody who's hungry, you feed them. If you find somebody who needs clothing, you help them. If you find somebody who's just kind of down and really sad, what can we do?
Help them.
Help them. Cheer them up. So let's say a prayer, okay? Dear Jesus, we know that it only takes 1 minute to help you and to do your will and to help all of your sheep. Help us to remember that it only takes 1 minute. Thank you, Jesus, for all your love and for all you give us. Amen.
Our special music this morning, When I Am Afraid, is by our kids' singing group, God's Singers.
I am afraid. I will trust in you. I will trust in you.
Testament and our epistle lessons are presented by Susan Berger, followed by the gospel reading and his sermon, The Shepherding King, The Shepherding Community, by Reverend Ma.
For this is what the Sovereign Lord says, I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. As a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he is with them, so will I look after my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places where they were scattered on a day of clouds and darkness. I will bring them out from the nations and gather them from the countries, and I will bring them into their own land. I will pasture them on the mountains of Israel, in the ravines and all the settlements in the land. I will tend them in a good pasture, and the mountain heights of Israel will be their grazing land. There they will lie down in good grazing land, and there they will feed in a rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I myself will tend my sheep and have them lie down, declares the Sovereign Lord. I will search for the lost and bring back the strays. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak, but the sleek and the strong I will destroy. I will shepherd the flock with justice. Here ends our first reading. Our second reading comes from Ephesians, Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 1, verses 15 through 23. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance. In the saints, and his incomparable great power for us who believe, that power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and domination, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also into the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body and the fullness of him who fills everything in every way.
I'll put the sheep on his right hand and the goats on his left. And then the king will say to those at his right hand, come, you that are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundations of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you took care of me. I was in prison and you visited me. And then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food and thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you? And the king will answer them, truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me. And then he will say to those at his left hand, you that are cursed, depart from me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did not welcome me, naked and you did not give me clothing, sick and in prison and you did not visit me. And then they will answer, Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not care for you? And then he will answer them, truly I tell you, just as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And they will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Well, dear friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Through the years, some of my parishioners who visited other churches would bring back bulletins, and there was an intriguing sermon title one time that said, what would you do if you were God? Yeah, what would you do if you were God? Well, Ezekiel 34, that first reading for today, is a good possibility. There's lots of I wills in it. I will seek out my sheep. I will feed them with good pasture. I myself will be their shepherd of the sheep. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the stray, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak. I will save my flock, and I, the Lord, will be their God. I would love to hear that sermon on that. You know, the people of Israel were tent dwellers. They tended flocks and herds in this pastoral shepherding tradition of Israel. They shaped the outlook that this existence shaped the outlook of the prophets. Think of Moses. When he was called to lead Israel, he was out as a shepherd. Out of this pastoral heritage comes God as the good shepherd, a faithful shepherd, a good shepherd. And the sheep were not really capable of caring for themselves, especially in this age of a nomadic shepherding. They would constantly be looking for new grass and new water. And God was stripping the false shepherd of their power along with it. But he never quit caring for his people. So the removal of one shepherd demands the installation of another. For now, God assumes that role, with David sort of as his servant prince in there, and Ezekiel helps them to find a shepherd king. There was a dependence on a true shepherd and not a false king. There was protection. Protection from one who will care, as all those I wills suggest. And there was trust. I will be your God, your shepherd king. See, God had taken the initiative with this. In the New Testament, it was Jesus who assumed the role of good shepherd. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. In the second reading, we see this good shepherd assuming his place in heaven. God raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand of the heavenly places. This ties in then with what this Sunday is called, the reign of Christ, or some call it Christ the King Sunday. Here on this last Sunday of that church year, the whole full circle is completed, where Christ is again in heaven to reign forever. This is also the reading for Ascension Day, when he assumed that role. Power and dominion to reign was not only in this age, but also in the age to come. And he left us, the church, to carry out his tasks on earth in the meantime. We are the presence of the ruling Christ in the world today. This scripture takes us close to heaven. It's so fitting on a day that we call Totenfest, that we remember and celebrate with those who died in the faith during this last year. They rest in the care of Christ the King. Moving on to the gospel. The shepherd king here makes shepherding the vocation of the whole community of faith. This is a twist. You know, we were the sheep, but we are also called to be shepherds. We're called in baptism to live out our new vocation, caring for the human community, not to keep score, but just as a way of life, to care. Picture again, here, is of being in heaven, this gathering of the people from all nations, separating them like sheep and goats. Excuse me. Goats never seem to get very good press, and they don't hear either. The sheep on the right hand, the goats on the left. And it said in our reading, then the king will say to those at the right hand, come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me. And the people said, when did we do this? Well, when you did it to one of the least in the world, you did it to me. But the others were not treated the same. When was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty or stranger? We never saw this in front of you. But he says to them, because of your way of life, because of your unaware of the significance of what is happening, you also will not be treated the same. The first group, it had become a way of life. For the others, not quite so much. I have an example of a boy named Trevor, 10 years old, whose heart went out to the homeless in his own city. The story is told in a book written by his father called Trevor's Place. Maybe some have seen it. Trevor was watching TV with his parents. There was a report on homeless people. And he asked his father if there were homeless in his city. And his father said, well, there probably were, but he had never noticed. And the next day when they were out in the car, Trevor started looking around for homeless people. And he saw them sleeping in doorways or in the grates of the sidewalk. The more he looked, the more he saw, and he wondered what he could do to help them. And he nagged his parents until they made some sandwiches, and driving around, they gave them to people who were homeless and huddled in the cold. This simply started something which turned out to be hundreds of vans driving streets and cities across the country with one agenda: to provide homeless with a sandwich and a cup of coffee, to tell them that someone cares for these, the least of my brothers and sisters. This is an example of what can happen when someone dares to take a lead. And it makes one wonder how many needy get helped and how many needy get missed. I have an example, a story here about two boys. It's called Take Me Out to the Ball Game. It goes like this. Whenever the visiting the community park, he could not help but notice a 10-year-old Tony and his younger brother. It did not matter what time of day the person went to the park. Tony and his brother were there from early morning until the park closed. At first, people would think nothing of seeing them alone. After all, it was summer, and a lot of kids spend their days in the park. No one knew Tony's brother's name. He was always in the shadow of his bigger, more boisterous brother. At twilight, most of the kids would go home. Sometimes a parent or older brother or sister would have to come and call them, but no one ever came looking for Tony and his brother. No one ever saw them with a parent or responsible adult either. They were always by themselves. Little League baseball was played at the park almost every night during the summer months, and Tony and his brother would sit in the bleachers. They would sit in the exact same spot day after day, night after night. And what drew attention to Tony was his loud singing. Take me out to the ball game, he would sing. And he and his brother would say, I don't care if I ever get back to the old ball game. But at first, several parents were annoyed at Tony's disruptive behavior, but as the days went into weeks, which turned out to be all summer, they would expect to see the two boys. At some point during the game, Tony would start out and start singing, and they sat through every game, often leading cheers for players and teams, even though they did not know a single player. And the week school started, some of the best teams were still in playoff games, and Tony and his brother were still at the park as they had been all summer. No one seemed to know anything about the boys. It was as if they were a permanent fixture in the park. It was then that some of the parents became concerned, wondering if they had a home or if they went to school. Concerned parents would talk with each other during the games, wondering what, if anything, they should do. And someone suggested calling the police, and someone thought maybe children and youth services should be contacted. Some even suggested following the boys home to see where they lived. The truth is that no one did anything as summer quickly faded to fall and many other activities. It's late November now, and the days are cooler and shorter, and Little League games are long stopped. The park is deserted most of the time, except for an occasional jogger or someone walking the dog. And the people who visited the park all summer long are busy doing other things. And they forgot all about Tony and his little brother. Did anyone know what happened to these boys? Did anyone care? What makes this sad is the park is within a stone's throw of three churches. And the saddest thing is that it seemed these churches had no intention of reaching out to people like Tony and his brother. They had probably never even noticed the boys. Well, would we have missed them? As we immerse ourselves in this Shepherd King, our hearts and our lives reach out, and it becomes a way of life for us. A way of life not to miss people like Tony and his brother, or just wonder about it but not do anything about it. See, as we follow the Shepherd King, he did not promise that his followers would be rich in possessions or power or prestige. He was named King only at his death. And we leave here strengthened to serve the hungry, the thirsty, the strangers, the naked, the sick, the imprisoned. We bend our knees to serve the Shepherd King as a shepherding community and look forward to the day when we will all see him on his throne with that scepter of peace. Amen.
Glad you joined us in this time of hope. If you don't have a church home in this area, please come and grow with us at the United Church of Christ of California, Missouri. Sunday school starts at 9:30 this morning, with church following at 10:30. Until we meet again, may God bless and keep you.